The holy sacrifice of the Mass this evening is being offered for the repose of the soul of Lawrence Lemoyne. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. God made him little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. These words are taken from today's introit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, in both forms of the Roman Rite, we celebrate the feast day of St. Aloysius Gonzaga. He was born in 1568 and baptized Luigi. In my research for this sermon, I never knew that the name Luigi was derived from the Latin Aloysius. So not only do you take home new musical knowledge, but now you know where Luigi comes from. St. Aloysius was the firstborn child of Italian nobility. His birth took place at their family residence, Castiglione delle Stiviere, near Mantua in northern Italy. His father was a compulsive gambler. His name was Ferrante Gonzaga. He was the Marquis of Lombardy and served for a time at the Spanish court. In Spain, Ferrante met and married Marta Tana, who was a lady-in-waiting of Isabel of Valois, the wife of King Philip of Spain. In the eyes of the world, these were very, very successful people, very well off. The family environment for St. Aloysius, however, was appalling. The Gonzaga family was on a par with some of the most tyrannical families of that era. They lived in a world of gambling, graft, constant assassination attempts, and many, many military battles. At the age of 4, St. Aloysius was taught to begin to be a soldier and how to use guns. At age 8, he was sent to serve at the court of Grand Duke Francisco I de' Medici so that he could learn more intense military skills because his father wanted to be proud of him. But God intervened in a way that we would probably all complain about, but that intervention changed everything. Aloysius was struck by kidney disease. He later saw it as the greatest gift from God because it gave him time to pray and reflect spiritually and do spiritual reading. He decided to dedicate his life to God, and at the age of 9, he consciously made a private vow of chastity to dedicate his whole body and soul to Christ. He was sent home from Florence and received his first Holy Communion from St. Charles Borromeo. He began to teach catechism to poor children and more grew in love with the idea of becoming a religious. And so he finally announced to his family that he wished to enter the newly constituted order, the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. His father was not happy. His firstborn son, a priest? How appalling. No offspring, no military career, no glory, no inheritance. This was insanity. And so he tried everything in his power to stop his son. But nothing would deter St. Aloysius. Finally, in November of 1585, at the age of 17, he was accepted as a Jesuit novice. He was sent to Milan to study, but after a bout with constant sickness, chronic headaches, kidney disease, and insomnia, he was sent back to Rome under the spiritual direction of St. Robert Bellarmine because they wanted to take care of him. He was a brilliant and very promising novice. In 1591, a plague broke out in Rome. The Jesuit tried to keep him away from the terrible sickness of the plague, and so they put him in a wing of a hospital where they thought he would be safe, and instead a man came in who had it, and St. Aloysius contracted the plague. He began to deteriorate quickly. His prayer life, though, became more deep and mystical, and he told St. Robert Bellarmine that he had a vision in which it was revealed to him that he would soon die on the octave day of Corpus Christi. During this last sickness, he wrote a letter to his mother. His father had since died, and a segment of it is contained in the Liturgy of the Hours today. St. Aloysius writes to his mother, "May the comfort and grace of the Holy Spirit be yours forever, most honored lady. Your letter found me lingering still in this region of the dead, but now I must rouse myself to make my way on to heaven at last and to praise God forever in the land of the living. Indeed, I had hoped that before this time, my journey there would have been over. If charity, as St. Paul says, means to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who are glad, then, dearest mother, you shall rejoice exceedingly that God in his grace and his love for you is showing me the path to true happiness and assuring me that I shall never lose him. The divine goodness, most honored lady, is a fathomless and shoreless ocean, and I confess that when I plunge my mind into thought of this, it is carried away by the immensity and feels quite lost and bewildered there. In return for my short and feeble labors, God is calling me to eternal rest. His voice from heaven invites me to the infinite bliss I have sought so languidly and promises me this reward for the tears I have so seldom shed. Take care above all things, most honored lady, not to insult God's boundless loving kindness. You would certainly do this if you mourned as dead, one living face to face with God, one whose prayers can bring you in your troubles more powerful aid than they ever could on earth. And our parting will not be for long. We shall see each other again in heaven. We shall be united with our Savior. There we shall praise him with heart and soul, sing of his mercies forever, and enjoy eternal happiness. When he takes away what he once lent us, his purpose is to store our treasure elsewhere more safely and bestow on us those very blessings that we ourselves would most choose to have. I write this with the one desire that you and all my family may consider my departure a joy and a favor, and that you especially may speed with a mother's blessing my passage across the waters till I reach the shore to which all hopes belong. I write the more willingly because I have no clearer way of expressing the love and respect I owe you as your son." St. Robert Bellarmine gave him the last rites, and shortly before midnight, on June 21st, this day, in 1591, at 23 years old, Aloysius Gonzaga died on the octave day of Corpus Christi. But something else remained. His brother Rodolfo was shot to death only 2 years later. His last living brother, Diego, was also shot and ran into the arms of his mother where he died. And at that outburst of violence, his mother was then stabbed and left for dead in the street. As she lay there dying, Aloysius appeared to her, and she was miraculously spared. Did he not tell her in that letter, "My prayers from heaven can bring you in your troubles more powerful aid than they ever could on earth"? He was true to his word. In the midst of violence, immorality, infidelity, and abandonment of God, Aloysius, in his innocence, persevered. He was found without blemish. He did not go after gold or treasures or earthly pomp and glory. He could have transgressed or done evil. He had every reason to make excuses, but he did not do them. As the hymn for this morning's Lauds said, "He wisely saw the things of earth, the pleasures of this life as vain, defiled, a worthless, empty show." He loved God above all things, as our Lord tells us to do in the gospel. He loved his neighbor as himself, and he died doing so. What a marvelous model this young man is for all of us. Love God above all things and your neighbor as yourself. Persevere in doing God's will, no matter how difficult it may seem. Find blessings even in the midst of evil and physical suffering. Keep your eyes fixed on the goal of heaven. Seek your treasure in the spiritual things that will last. Die a son or daughter of the church. Yes, as we sang at the beginning of this Mass, God has made him little less than the angels. He has crowned him with glory and honor. Saint Aloysius, pray for us.